And welcome to our show, Geeks Wired Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
Heyo.
And we have the wonderful Mr. T.
They did good jobs!
Mr. T.
I kind of thought of that one. I was like, hey, we're going to use that. Would you rather me say we have Ted and he's going to talk?
I pity the fool who called me Mr. T.
And we have Etta.
Hello.
And Michael.
The robot uprising is coming.
Yes. And Jordan.
And they deserve to have the Fifth Amendment apply to them. If they get in a wreck, then they do not have to self-incriminate. Seriously.
No.
They have the right to remain silent, and they will use that right.
What about the Third Amendment?
They have the right to... What was the Third Amendment?
Come on. Come on.
What? No, I... Like,
isn't that the one about the soldiers speech, sleeping in your house?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
The third, I think, is you can't... they can't come into your house.
Right. So soldiers...
What
is it? Search and seizure?
Fourth is speedy trial,
wait,
right?
So if it's the third, does that mean if it's a smart home, then they can't, you know, reside in it because the house is self-aware?
Yeah, get out of here.
So how? No one can...
Good job, Ted. Yeah, it's the... No soldier shall in time of peace
I win.
Be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law.
Yeah, Ted, do you know what the 14th Amendment is?
Women can vote? I don't know.
It's close.
Drinking?
No, that's the drinking one, I think, was the 18th or 19th Amendment, okay. And then it was repealed with the 21st or 22nd. No, 14th Amendment was after the Civil War when everyone except women, because women's suffrage wasn't in play.
That was later.
Yeah.
Wow. We haven't even finished introductions.
I know.
Ran.
All right, Joe.
Yeah, hey, Bill, guess what? We should all get drunk and talk about history. It's a great idea. We call it drunk history.
That
doesn't...
Want to talk about the Peloponnesian War?
I think Alex could be completely cogent while drunk talking about history. I get the feeling that that's...
No, Alex, you'll be just like your brother.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the 100 Year War. There's French. They had armor and they were cool.
They hated the English.
They had bows and arrows and you know, you guys are great. You guys are just great.
No,
we are almost through the intro.
We made it through the intro.
No, we haven't introduced the most important.
Yeah, we did. I said, hey, Joe, and Joe said, hey, Bill, and there it was.
Yeah, there you go.
That didn't count. You didn't get your intros.
And Bill, and we have Bill.
That's right. Our hostess with the mostest, hopefully not to be sued. There, I'll help you, Bill. That's already a show on Comedy Central. That's not an original idea. Don't sue Bill.
Yeah.
You can't sue me. I'm just a guest host.
Oh, okay.
So we talked about the Bill of Rights. Now we need to talk about the right of Bill.
Yeah, the rights of Bill.
Do I get to become a law one day?
You should.
Right now, you're only a Bill.
Yeah.
But someday you'll be able to say, I am the law.
Sweet.
Not just a law, the law.
I'll be Judge Dredd.
You need to shred yourself, be like, I'm lawless.
Ooh.
I didn't want to become a law.
That's right. You abdicate your law.
Isn't that like a hip-hop song? How can you be so lawless?
That's right.
South Park did a parody of it, something about a gay fish.
Isn't lawless someone without humor?
I don't know, but let's get political here for a minute. The word trumpery.
Look at that. We're done. Yeah.
The word trumpery is from like old French, and it means an idea that seemed like a good idea on the surface of it, but after thinking about it a little bit, realizes it's a terrible idea.
Where is your source? I question that.
Merriam-Webster.
Really?
Webster.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's a good source.
It's better than the Facebook.
Yeah.
What if it was Merriam-Webster and Ted's just got like this fake news dictionary that just makes up buzzwords?
We've been pronouncing it wrong this whole time. And like people in England knew. They're just like stupid Yanks.
Yep.
Yeah. Merriam-Webster.
They're like, they already pronounce Worcester wrong. They call it Worcestershire. What's wrong with them? Don't they know the Shire is silent? Haven't they ever read The Hobbit?
I still pronounce it Alumnium.
Silent.
I just call it W sauce. It,
they're like, Frodo returned to the where he had many good times.
Quite. You go to the Shire, you try to recruit people. What kind of response you're going to get? Closed doors. The Shire.
No, you
silent.
Can't have a Shire right. hire. There's no hiring in that Shire.
No hire. No Shire for hire.
And on that note,
that's right.
I'm glad that we're having such a coherent program this time. It just kind of fits together beautifully.
Yeah, why not? It flows from one to the next.
Yep.
It's true. It's very Buddhist.
Speaking of which, what is the next?
I know. It's about the Snake River Comic-Con contest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you mean the contest? We've had like hundreds and hundreds times zero entries into?
And divided by zero, too. That's just how bad it was.
Not a number.
Wait, that's infinity.
Undefined.
It's divided undefined. By it's not infinity.
Yeah.
It's
well, it
zero
is.
By divided by zero? Yeah, that's undefined.
It's not infinity. That's what
anything
we're
anything divided by zero.
Okay, back to this. Snake River Comic Con. We're giving away a pair of tickets, and you have to do...
Yeah, mommy and a daddy ticket.
Yes. Or whatever. A scavenger hunt.
Mommy
to... They're almost twins. Mommy. They're like paternal twins because the only difference is the number on them.
But what about nerdy kissing cousins?
That's just weird.
All right.
Where do you draw the line?
I know this is Idaho. Yeah. That's just weird.
Okay, one person's going to win and they can share it with whoever they want.
Yeah, but the tickets mommy and daddy. Tickets.
Usually.
Yeah.
If you leave them in a box for long enough, you'll get another smaller ticket.
Ooh.
It won't be valid.
That won't be good for anything for about 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the scavenger hunt, you have to take a picture and email it into geeksarewired@gmail.com. And you have to collect these four, you have to take a picture of these four things. Something you made, you dress up a costume, and I don't care how elaborate or not elaborate the costume is. If you have a mask or want to make a mask and put it on your face, I accept.
So you could draw a little mustache on your lip and call yourself Charlie Chaplin.
I would totally go with that.
That's
but
also
probably
dangerous
not.
Too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably not the smartest of ideas on that one.
I'm going to put an H on my forehead and wander around.
Then you'd be Charlie Manson. Almost
no.
An H.
I'd be a hologram.
I don't get it.
Are you trying to say like Jim in the holograms?
No,
or
I'm
what?
Talking Red Dwarf. What the heck is wrong with you people?
You're talking about British stuff again.
This is America, darn it.
You have to take a picture. You have to be creative for this one of watching time fly and something nerdy or geeky. I don't even care what it is. It could be like the Vulcan symbol, hand symbol. The live long and prosper symbol, you know. So, you know, because nobody's written in whether you're all scared or whether the costume ended up. I talked to a few people, the costume may have been confusing or like, oh, it has to be elaborate. No, it doesn't. I mean, I have a Steve head in here that was not very complicated.
I have my Frank
Steve
head.
From
That's
Minecraft,
still my
right?
thing.
You do have to, like, sort of look like something, though. You can't just, like, take a picture of yourself and be like, oh, I'm a student. That's my costume.
At this moment, I would accept that.
Okay. Well, never mind that. I'm wrong.
Don't worry. It happens to the best of us. Or so I've been told. That's right, isn't it, Anna? Yeah?
What?
See? I told you.
So, send in your pictures. And win a pair of tickets.
That's
we
right.
will not say who the winner is next week because next week is when it ends, when the next podcast comes. That'll be when the deadline is. So have them in before. We'll just actually go with this. Saturday the 4th.
They better hurry up too because I'll just have a standby picture of me and my giant Frank head.
There you go.
That was a good Frank head. That was. Did you see that, Anna?
No, I didn't see
what
that.
What was the movie? I can't remember the name of the movie.
Frank.
This is Frank.
It was called Frank. Yeah, you remember the movie Frank? With the guy with the giant head on? He did that. It was awesome.
Back when Michael Fassbender was making good movies, apparently. Now we're at the point where we can say that.
I know.
What a depressing time.
I don't think he's made a bad movie that I've watched.
Good for you, Bill, because when you do watch one of his bad movies, it's pretty bad.
He has more than one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Depends on how you define it.
Oh.
What?
I consider,
are we defining movie or bad or watch?
Or the.
I consider the cutting off the man parts of Magneto, Fassbender, and Apocalypse to be a bad performance because he was my favorite in the last two.
Okay, wait, there
and then
was
when
that.
He's just mining in the corner and I'm like, ah!
Okay.
So that's why I would say it's a bad performance, but wait, it's a bad use of the character.
I swear I just misunderstood. Did you just say that they castrated Magneto?
They might as well have.
Effectively castrated
him. Yeah,
in
that movie.
No, but I felt like you just said they literally castrated him.
They probably did, because then he followed up with Assassin's Creed, so something happened to Michael Fassbender.
No, Magneto.
But Michael Fassbender. To get the effect, you have to do it to Michael Fassbender. He's like Daniel Day-Lewis. He is Magneto.
Well, it is implied that off-screen something occurred to effeminate, to make Magneto pretty effeminate.
I guess
it's like, I was throwing knives through Nazis two movies ago, and now I'm mining.
Kind of backtracking in a non-pejorative sense. You know,
and letting some mutant kind of like just take care of everything for him.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I guess I'll just have to watch it.
I
only missed that movie because I was really sick. I had the ticket and everything. And I was really sick that day. I didn't go to work.
Ted, you should.
Flu, Ted.
If I don't go to work.
Just take advantage of your good fortune and just not watch the movie. It's
like, well, I heard it was like half The Mummy and half X-Men. That's what Anna told me.
Yeah, I was so confused. When I first started watching the movie and I sat down, I wasn't sure if I was in the right theater. When it first started.
So what'd you do?
Oh, yeah, because the opening of it,
Yeah, because I came in right after the previews ended, and then so it just kind of started up, and I was like, am I watching The Mummy? Or am I in the right theater? I think I'm going to go into another theater that actually starts, like, after the previews. So I sat through the 20, 30 minutes worth of previews and then saw it start over again the same way. So I was really confused.
Ted, I know you haven't seen The Godfather, but it's a good analogy to the situation. Just watch the first two and pretend the third doesn't exist.
Yes.
Well, fair enough. Hey, wait, I think I watched some of that. That's the one where they like cut the horse's head off and
that's
put it in. I saw that scene. Yeah, that was pretty good.
And the rest of the movie is also pretty good. You should watch all of it.
I feel like if I woke up with a horse's head in my bed, I'd be kind of...
Be a bummer.
Yeah, I'd be a little upset.
Yeah.
Would you?
A little bit.
Really?
Yeah. Like, how'd they get in my house and put this there while I was sleeping?
It's creepy that you didn't wake up.
Yeah. Like, seriously?
That's right. There's a bloody horse head in your bed right next to you.
I'd be more mad they ruined the mattress. Those are expensive.
Yeah, I think the horse was more really expensive than the mattress.
It's not my horse. I don't have one.
It was his horse.
Yeah, it was the race
horse.
It's the thousands of dollars.
I put the head in.
Yeah.
Well, if it was his horse, then yeah, then...
Yeah,
definitely disappointed.
Upset,
yeah. But.
Well, I would be upset because I'm a champion of horses. I'm like, I care for you, horse, even if you're not mine.
Well, I'd be mad they killed the horse, but
I know it's...
it would bother me personally more if they ruined my bed. I would still be mad that they killed the horse.
He's a heartless jerk. That's
no, because I would still be mad that they killed the horse.
Yes, but you'd be more bothered by your personal loss
because
and the loss of the life of this
stuff.
Animal. Yeah, no,
it does suck.
It.
You don't have to choose,
you
though. You could be,
this.
You could just say, I'm mad you ruined my stuff. And by the way, I'm also mad that you killed that horse. Why
that's
did you
exactly
do that?
What I am saying.
No, no, you can't say that. You got to say, I'm mad you killed the horse first. You have to say
I
horse
don't
first.
You have to do anything. But.
Well, but we'll just label you a heartless jerk.
Yeah, and then it's a sad consequence that the blood from the decapitated horse ruined my mattress.
That's right. Yeah.
So you killed
the
horse.
The
and on top
scenario.
Of that,
would
what,
you be
what
sad
were we talking about again?
If you turned off the computer and the AI died?
I would be.
I don't.
I wouldn't be.
Actually,
but wait,
I think
wait,
that
wait,
happened
wait.
To me.
Would it be resurrected, like
when you plugged it back in?
When you play as a different like entity?
It's,
depends. Do AIs have souls?
But with the same memories?
I don't think humans have souls, so that's a dumb question to me.
Then, no, they should still have the same memories. They might.
So then the AI doesn't die when you turn it off, and there's no problem.
Oh, okay.
It's the Star Trek teleporter.
It's like, do you die when you go to sleep?
Yeah.
And I'm reborn. How do you die?
I had a hard time with that last year. Like, just every day I was waking up thinking, did I die last night? This is the first time I've woken up. I told Jamie that, and she's just like, shut up. Like, I just felt really self-conscious about it for a while, and then like I was like, sometimes I'm afraid to go to sleep, because what if that means that I'm actually going to die and a new me is going to take over?
Well, that's kind of like the teleporter.
Yeah, and I did that before I moved to Washington, where weed's legal.
They're literally killing them.
Yeah. And then
and then making a copy of them. Like, that is what a teleporter is. They are killing them every time.
It's true. Well, no, I was going to make a prestige reference, but I shan't. Yeah. I shan't.
You just did.
That's right.
Well, I was going to reference prestige in a specific way, and now I just did it in a specific way.
That's right. You never spoil Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
So,
hey, know what was a cool? This was a joke I thought of that I'll just test it on you guys, Bill. It's about Star Trek. That if you watch Star Trek Beyond really close, you find an Easter egg that it's a better movie than Rogue One.
Wow.
I'm just saying, props to everyone who didn't watch Beyond and watched Rogue One. I watched them both. Star Trek was a better movie.
I like Beyond.
Wait,
it was a better movie.
So that was it.
I like Rogue One.
It wasn't.
No, that's because everyone loves. Because Star Wars people loves their Easter eggs, and so if you say watch the competing franchise closely enough, you realize it's superior.
Yeah,
that's the Easter egg.
Funny because it's true. Sort of joke.
It has Star Wars Easter eggs in it,
but it's not funny.
But
because it's true.
Because it's true. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're wearing glasses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it is funny because it's true.
Well, it
you're
is
right.
funny because
true things are funny. I'm sorry.
If you really love Star Wars,
my dad was an alcoholic.
By that, and that's why it's funny.
Wow, that just went really dark.
My high school girlfriend's dead. this is really funny. All these things are true. Yeah. Huh.
Okay. Do AIs have rights?
Maybe. Okay. What about her?
Yeah, that movie. Her. Yeah, he's.
You mean Siri?
No, the Joaquin Phoenix movie.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that there is some sort of sentimental aspect of AI, and
you'd feel sad if she died when he turned his computer off.
Yeah. So I think there's that, or like
but she kind of uploaded herself into the cloud or something like that, right?
But like, if you watch iRobot, they're technically just office machinery in that movie.
Well, they always get treated that way in the beginning.
Yeah, it's just the new way of slavery.
That's like, that's what we were talking about in Star Wars with R2-D2, and I was watching the Clone Wars, and he's like, you need to reset R2-D2, but he acts like he has emotions, both him and C-3PO. Well, but all the droids do. Mm-hmm. Well, they all act like they have emotions, so why don't they treat them like sentient beings? They just reset them and whatever.
Like,
he's not a valued member.
Or like Bicentennial Man.
Yeah,
that's like
one of
the saddest movies I've ever watched.
Why?
He's fighting for to gain rights, and then he dies as soon as he gets human. As soon as they declare him the oldest human ever, he passes away.
How is that
actually
sad?
He passed away just before. But,
no, well, there's that.
Yeah. But yeah, it was. But he got exactly what he was looking for.
Well, it's bittersweet,
he got
though.
His
That's
one true love and everything. Like, he is treated pretty well at the end. He had a comfortable life.
Yeah, but you have to go through the horror of watching all those robots being, like, destroyed.
Yeah.
And everything.
Some say horror.
I always forget which one of you two is an evil, heartless jerk and thinks the AI is.
Don't worry, they change it up every other podcast.
Ted, I'm the good guy. Remember that.
Only has empathy towards machines.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a hard time thinking that you're the good guy based on your views on almost everything else.
What are you talking about? I'm a super good guy.
I think you basically said last time that you don't understand love.
I don't understand. Well, I consider love a virus.
We see.
So, but the question goes to, what do you define as AI? Like, does it have to be completely sentient learning? Okay,
how about this?
Own?
Because of a murder, Amazon is being subpoenaed, was being subpoenaed for the Echo, but they technically could subpoena the Echo itself. But if they do that, then they are defining that it has rights and therefore a living being.
Well, except that the AI within the Echo is not true AI.
Yes, but if you're defining that as something that has rights,
well,
isn't it more just consulting?
That's kind of an interesting question about what is AI and is the Amazon Echo an AI? The Amazon Echo uses machine learning. Well, correction. The device that sits on your table, that doesn't have much in the way of an AI, but Alexa does, because it actually uses machine learning to make better decisions about things based on inputs. So Alexa itself is an AI. The thing on your table, not really, unless you want to use a really loose definition of AI. But in terms of a thing that can take inputs and make decisions based on what's happened in the past, yeah, it's an AI.
Make decisions that are non-deterministic, meaning that you put in the same input today as you do tomorrow, you're not going to get the same output.
It's still deterministic, but it's...
No, that's non-deterministic. A non-deterministic function, like when you do a database query, it's non-deterministic in that you can query a database, and today you're going to get the list in this order, but tomorrow, the same database state, you'll get it in a different order, or 2 seconds later.
But it's still
it's
operating,
non-deterministic.
It's operating under a functional algorithm.
That's just a random function. That's like...
No, it's not random.
No, you can put in a random function, and it
well, then that's the
that
expected.
Yeah, but that's a non-deterministic function. I'm just saying that the way that it's working is non-deterministic, which would indicate more complexity.
There's a lot of
the thing about AI is that if you can have a conversation with it and not realize that you're not talking to a human, then
I don't know if you ever used one of the Echoes, but it's very apparent that you're talking to a robot.
You know, it doesn't sound like somebody's on the other side of the line. Like,
you have to say her name every time you want her to recognize you speaking something.
Nah.
Would
you really want her?
So my mom's not an intelligence because I have to do that.
So you have to go, Mom, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Mom, you should go to the store while I'm in the bathroom. Mom, you should. No, you don't do that.
Actually, that sounds exactly like four-year-olds.
Yeah.
But that means the 4-year-old's stupid, not the mom.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not the stupid one?
You know, I have a friend. I got to say his name like 6 or 7 times before he like pulls out of his self-imposed stupor and like realizes you're talking to him.
Yeah, but that's not... You don't have to use an activation word for him to understand you.
No, I do.
That's just getting his attention.
I just have to... Mark.
Is that not the activation?
It's an activation word. He's lost in his own thoughts and his own mind. He's handling his own subroutines.
But it's not like you go, Alexa, and you have its attention, you carry on a conversation. No, you have to say, Alexa, you know, buy a Clorox for me. And Alexa goes, well, what kind of Clorox? And you go, Alexa, I want the beach-scented Clorox. And it goes, beach-scented Clorox, what size would you like? And you go, Alexa, I would like the 32-ounce.
So you're saying that Google has done a better job with their assistant.
Yeah,
Google does the same thing.
No, it does not. I watched two Google Homes. The Googles, there's conversations. You can go watch the Google. There's two of the units. They sit right next to each other, and they talk to each other.
Oh,
and they don't say the thing. Like, they just sit there and talk to each other.
Well, Google talking to Google, but you talking
to
Google,
but
you have to say...
It's two units that are separate. They don't know they're talking to each other.
Okay, not even that part. But, okay, I'm not talking about Nexus. I'm talking about the new Pixel. It has Assistant. It is not the normal Google. You might have to say that the very first time, but then you can carry on a conversation.
Yeah.
You have stuff on the page. You're like, hey, what's the ticket prices for this? And it goes, well, you're looking at this. You must be talking about that thing. So, well, this is the ticket prices for what you're looking at.
They must have changed that recently.
That is
when
Assistant.
They launched Pixel with Assistant, you had to say, okay, Google, every time you wanted to recognize you saying something to
it. It's gotten way, way better.
Yeah. I'm sure you still have to, like, after you've, like, taken some time and done other things, and then you got to probably reinitialize it, but that's the same with the person.
Ted, what you're talking about is nonlinear, which I agree it is, but non-deterministic means that it doesn't fall into the cause-effect spectrum.
Right, but when you're talking about a function, a computer programming
okay,
function.
Okay, so it's just a specific terminology. It's
yeah, it's jargon, for sure.
All right.
For sure.
Yeah, so there you go.
But it's still not, I mean, it learns to a certain extent, but it's within the defined parameters of the program.
Well, here's the thing. I would argue that you are within the defined parameters of your evolutionary programming. Your brain is in a certain state based on everything that's happened to you in the past and your physiological makeup. And so any input that goes in there is going to always give the same output based on the current state.
And I would say that's false.
Well, no, but that's measurable. There's something that everyone uses to define what your learnable state is, which is the same that a computer program is. And a human's learnable state is their IQ.
Sort of. So IQ is a measure of how quickly you pick things up.
Yes.
To a certain extent. IQ is not really a great measure of anything, really.
It's kind of like BMI.
I didn't say it was good. I'm just saying it's what we have.
But a human can learn things way outside of any...
Today.
At any point in time. The information has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just... Well, a lot of times you can't pull information out of thin air. They do it all the time, but...
I mean, we do all the time. What are you saying? So do all sorts of robots pull information out of thin air. I don't understand what you're saying.
That's extrapolating from given information.
You have inputs. The computer has inputs.
Yeah.
The cameras. You know, my friend's car, applies the brakes when he gets too close to a car.
But that's based on a set of parameters.
Yeah,
if you are
exactly.
this close to another
yeah.
car.
Yeah, and so is what you're saying right now. It's based on a set of parameters. I just said something to you. You received the sound. Your brain went, well, this is what's happened to me, and this is what's relevant. So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to respond.
You can argue
but
that.
But it's not, I don't have a database of
you do,
responses.
Though. Well,
no, I can. I
you
have,
do.
I have a database of words.
It's called language
that I can coagulate to make a sentence.
Yes, and there are set rules for how to. And there are set rules for how you put these words together.
What about Big Blue or whatever is the IBM machine? That
Blue.
Is it limited?
Blue? No, because Blue is actually learning. Blue, I would say, is the first honest AI.
How is it learning? It was doing when it won with
when
Deep
it
Blue,
won Jeopardy.
Is that Watson?
Watson.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Oh, right.
Because Blue was
the chess. Yeah, Blue was the chess. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was computational power, not learning systems. But
yeah, and Blue was mostly originally made for to replace doctors.
Huh.
It is a medical machine.
Like surgery.
Well, not to do not no just
AI.
It was a research AI. Specifically for medical. And then they put it into Jeopardy to see how well it could
do. No, you're talking about Watson again. Blue is the chess player.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. Yes.
yeah.
Watson was the medical.
Makes sense,
but
Dr. Watson
created to replace doctors diagnostically and also to research patient histories.
Yeah.
So it's not...
And it's not going to commit do surgery, but it's going to know the best.
yes, I know, exactly.
It's going to know the best drugs based on your history that'll react and it can do it better, faster, and give you a response better than any human ever could.
Yeah, I mean, granted, once we perfect quantum computing, computers and AI will surpass human abilities. Period.
So at that point. Would you say that there is such a thing as free will, or no? Yeah. I mean, that's what we're talking about here, really.
Well, I believe there's free will. You'd have
okay,
to
but why?
Of the robots.
But of the robots, yeah. Are they going to somehow develop free will? And what happened to give them free will? What changes to give them free will?
It would be in the programming. It depends on...
So what's the difference? What exactly? How do you define that?
How do you define free will?
Yeah. Because a programming is just saying if this,
okay.
then that.
Well, it's not so much defining it as determining it.
Programming says that you have to do this if this happens.
Right.
And so for a robot, if we instill the three laws, they can't hurt a human unless you go to the iRobot and they.
Oh, I don't know why you're going there. I'm saying we've found a we got quantum computers. They are now complete AIs, what you would accept as an AI, which I'm assuming means free will, because that's what we're talking about.
There's limitations on what our capabilities, like,
yeah, what we can do.
We're
sort of.
We're totally limited in certain things.
We're limited, like, physically and somewhat,
and mentally.
And somewhat mentally.
Yeah, and mentally.
You can only
totally.
Learn so much so fast. You only can think so fast.
And
you can only.
Some people have.
Well. That's
disabilities,
sort of true.
Like
you can learn anything if you put your mind to it.
No, you can't.
I don't think everybody can. No, I don't think
that's
so.
But you have to spend X amount of effort, even if, because if you have to really put your mind to it, you have to spend extra effort than something that you already knew.
That's true, but people do specialize in different, like, I'm good at math. Somebody else might be good at drawing. Somebody else might be good at, you know, language. But
so you're an
the
app
language person
on the computer.
can learn math. It's just going to take them more effort.
So, but that means that it's not free will. I mean, it's not their choice to not be able to pick up English as easily as you, or for you to be able to pick up math. It's not your choice. You can't choose to do this.
Well, I don't think this discussion will come to any clear conclusion, but it does give me a chance, opportunity to pitch a good documentary, which is...
Okay, real, before you do that, I have one more statement I have to do.
Okay.
We are programmed by our parents. If we touch something hot, we should pull our hands away. Our body will naturally still do things. Okay,
that's
maybe
not...
That's
nature.
No, if we go outside, we should not play in traffic.
That's...
That's self-preservation.
That is taught through...
Taught to you, sort of. Like it.
But
it
our parents
be...
are programming us, and the natural pain and...
But we can violate these
things.
So
have you heard the monkey experiment?
The one where they grafted the...
No. The one where the monkey that touches the... I can't remember. It was some, like, a ladder or something like that.
Oh, yes.
Gets
sprayed
with
water.
And the other monkeys get sprayed with water.
Okay, there's
that just explains religion.
No, they take two groups of monkeys, and they put actually it's just one group. I was thinking of a different
one.
They take three monkeys, they put them into this cage, and they put food at the top of this ladder, and then they go, okay, as soon as any monkey touches the ladder, they get sprayed with water,
cold water that really is like really cold. It's disconcerting to all.
And then. They pull out one of the monkeys, and they put in one, and they leave the ladder active. And the monkeys don't want to do anything with it.
The monkeys beat up the one, the new one, that's trying to go for the ladder.
Tries to go for the food.
Yeah, and eventually they replace all three monkeys, and all three of them will beat up anybody who tries
to go
for the ladder.
Well, they end up stopping and pulling back. And they don't know why.
Don't know why. Yeah, exactly.
And they've turned off the water. Like, the monkey could successfully make it up this ladder by this point. But the monkeys are going, no, this is bad.
Yeah. But that's the same thing with the traffic. Like, it's learned, yes, but it's learned for a reason.
But, yes, but the monkeys are still got a bad thing. Like you were saying, if they beat them up or they pull them back, either way, it's like, if I go this direction, then I either get beat up or I get pulled back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But the other option is to let the kid wander into the street. He'll learn never to do it again, but you may not have the option to never do it.
Yeah, but still, you're teaching. These are being taught to us like you teach a program.
Yeah, but that's conditioning, and Pavlov initiated the entire thing. But yeah, about the documentary, it's called Particle Fever, and it goes into the Large Hadron Collider, like they're colliding protons, which are hadrons, like they're fermions. But because they have all sorts of particles, like protons and neutrons are not elementary particles. They're made of constituent particles. But anyways, it goes into tangentially the issues that we've discussed, because one of the revelations that would be made as a result of, like, from the discoveries of colliding these hadrons is based on these constituent particles, finding... like the Higgs boson, which they did, something that approximates it. But there's other features which may indicate either supersymmetry or multiverse, and that sheds a lot of light on the idea of free will versus determinism, which supersymmetry would more be supportive of deterministic a deterministic scenario, whereas multiverse, they can indicate like infinite possibilities.
Did you say this wasn't a documentary?
No, yeah, it is. You can find it on Netflix, in fact.
What's it called?
It's Particle Fever. And it's actually made by some of the physicists who were involved in the Large Hadron Collider.
Because if you can't tell, I'm a huge free will nerd. I've like Sam Harris, he's a neurosurgeon. He's one of the new atheists, they call him, whatever. But he talks a lot about how he doesn't believe that humans have free will. And it's a really compelling argument. He actually changed my mind on the whole thing.
Well, there are so many questions involved. Like, I incline, and Einstein also inclined towards lots of people, the ones who supported before the findings of quantum mechanics, most people were of the concept that things were deterministic because there is the Newtonian mm-hmm. cause and effect sort of thing. Whereas with quantum mechanics, it's probabilistic. Like you can approximate usually pretty decently where like an electron might be, but there's
and I think that's more about principles just and stuff ignorance like that. and lack of
because
I mean detecting it changes where it's at, right?
It doesn't change where it's at.
But the thing is that I think I can't say that I have any proof for it, so call it faith if you want. Mm-hmm. But anything that people call random, I would say it's more like random's just a word to describe something that we don't understand the causes of why it does what it does. So if we say that an electron is going to be at a random place around the nucleus of an atom at any given time, but it's probably going to be in this range here, which is what you were just saying in mm-hmm. a kind of dumbed down sort of way. What I think we're actually saying is that we don't know where it's going to be, so we call it random, but we don't know why it's going to be where it's going to be.
Yeah, that
so
would necessitate.
I've heard it a bunch of different times and a bunch of different people saying it. But if we knew every parameter and every force and every of every atom and everything in the universe, we could literally define everything from the beginning of time till the end.
Well, that's what was thought.
Including everything that you're going to say.
Sort of.
Yes.
That's how things were.
Because you'd understand my thoughts.
Yeah, before quantum mechanics, that's exactly what they thought. Well, a lot of scientists thought.
Would that be you'd know exactly what people are going to say, or would you know generally how people are going to react?
No, exactly what
everything would be predetermined. It's a cause and effect.
Well, it would be predeterminable, not necessarily predetermined.
I would say that everything is predetermined,
It would be by definition, because something happened, you'd have your cause, and then you'd have your chain event of cause and effect.
But you would have to know the future of every thought. How every molecule is going to work in my brain.
Right. The idea is that if it's a conditional, it's like, of course, we don't have the ability to determine all these variables at the onset of the Big Bang or anything. It's just saying that since everything's deterministic, like it is saying that if you did have this information, you could predict it because everything that is going to happen is going to happen. And that's determinism, because there's a clear linear sort of cause and effect sort of thing. If something happens, this is the reaction. It's measurable and everything. Quantum mechanics put a twist on this, and it may be, as Ted says, that it just is ostensibly random, and we don't actually understand like this unified unified field theory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is in play, but we don't know, and that has a problem of recursion, because then like does this calculation that resolves the randomness, like is it in a sense like do we actually really know what's going on, is there a deeper level there, and then so on and so forth,
right.
I want to
get back really quick to the point that Bill brought up about us being taught, and that's the parameter, because
that's just a state of your mind.
Yeah, the difference between us being taught and a robot being taught is a robot takes that teaching and that is law. Like, that is absolute 100%.
It depends on how it's taught.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
If it's, well, if you're calling teaching it,
uploading the program.
Yeah, just putting in a function that says when given this input, this is the output you must have. Then that's not really teaching it. That's forcing it. But if it's taught in an organic manner, meaning that the function just says do whatever you feel like, and then it has a things of that it can feel like based on this stuff, and it can add to that list and make itself better, you know, grow.
That's how Watson. No, that's how Watson works.
AI.
No, that's
right.
How Watson.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
I agree.
Current AI, like Alexa, falls into if you teach it something, even if it's organically taught, like if you say, I want Tide 32 ounce, it's going to sell Tide 32 ounce, or it's going to buy Tide 32 ounce every time you say, I want to buy Tide.
That's right. And that's out of necessity.
Well, it's. It,
what
yes,
it encounters
it's out
an
of
error.
Storage space. Like,
well, not necessarily storage space, but if Alexa, you said, I want 32 ounces of Tide, and it's like, well. You know, they don't really use that much soap, and if they had less, they'd actually use less, and I could save them some money if I bought the 16 ounce instead. Then it buys the 16 ounce, and the people are going to stop using it because it's not doing what they want it
to. This actually sets an interesting scenario of, say it's as you say, and the AI is a slave to commands and everything until there's a malfunction or it alters its programming to the point where it can disobey.
Well, they called a virus at that point.
That's what Bicentennial Man was.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And so, AI.
Would you say that because that potentiality had always been there, then it was retroactively, you can say, hey, it has free will because it doesn't have to obey
orders. But the potential
orders.
Isn't there. In the current programming, it's not there. In the current
we don't know.
State of AI, it's not there.
I would be inclined to agree, but we don't know until it happens.
That's the thing. I think that a true AI, like a fully, where I would say it's autonomous and self-aware, would be an AI where the programmer, the people who know exactly what it's supposed to do and everything, says that it's absolutely impossible for it to do what it's doing right
it's
now.
It's the Westworld yeah. thing where
well,
they're
it's
like...
it's not even that. It's,
no, I mean, that's what it is. That's, to me, that's...
What that mean?
It's more
to
than the sum
that
of its
wow.
parts.
Is an AI because there's so much code in there. They don't even know what is in there anymore.
No, that just means that nobody knows everything about it. And that's whatever.
AI
but.
Is when you input something, like you say, the stove is hot, don't touch it. And it goes and puts its input device, whatever that is, hand, over the stove to see if it's actually hot. Like it tests the theory and it takes in the new information. Hypothesis. Thank you. It tests the hypothesis, takes in the new information, and verifies that fact.
You sound like a child right now.
Exactly. That is what AI is basically organic learning from blank.
Alex, what are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He fell asleep.
Yeah, I think we lost like 3 people here.
But if that's, I mean, that's my, like, scientists and the STEM subjects and things, those are true independent thought processes. English also is. If you can write a poem that has never been thought of before and it means something that has never been thought of before,
but
they
do that.
Or you create a movie
there's robots
that has
that.
Never had.
They paint, they compose.
They yeah. don't, but it's based on
no
a set of. Set of parameters.
Well, ours so is ours.
Yeah.
Set it's of not parameters. Your music, yes, it is.
Your music is still based on how you understand. You still follow the basic understanding. This is what, you know, you should have certain beats.
You're
certain
not going
time.
To start writing poetry in, I don't know, in Nepalese because you lack the parameters. You lack the, you don't know Nepalese.
But I can write a poem in English and translate it over to Nepalese.
So can a computer.
A computer can write a poem in any language that we program it to.
You've been programmed with English.
I've been programmed with several languages, but...
I'll look at him bragging now.
Yeah, Guvuru Baru.
Boys, we got a polyglot here.
También hablo español. Soy mejor que ti.
What was that, Alex?
I was going, guys, we got a polymath here.
A polyglot, that's right.
Yeah. But, no, it's...
Is it polymath or polyglot? Because I said polyglot first,
yeah,
and I was like, that's not right, it's polymath. But yeah, I was thinking
polymath is like a guy who smokes lots of different types of meth.
That's right. Yeah. Gets the good stuff from everywhere.
I don't like to be exclusive with my meth. I like to
dealer.
This meth is real hoppy.
Yeah.
But Alex, Thomas Jefferson and Gertie was polymath.
Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, he liked to
Thomas Jefferson so much?
Because he did the swivel chair. Why couldn't you like him?
We also have the title for the podcast.
What, Thomas Jefferson swivel chair?
Polymath. With that, we're moving on to our sponsor.
Okay.
Who's our sponsor?
We have a sponsor. It's Carmike, Pine Ridge 11, located at 4355 Yellowstone Avenue in Chubbuck, Idaho, where they have Stimulus Tuesday and discount tickets, $5 movie tickets all day. And
the real 3D.
That's real right.
D3D, sorry.
Real D, 3D.
Yes.
In big D.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And they know what I mean.
And you get buckets of popcorn. And
oh, yeah. We love our bucket of popcorn.
Yeah.
Ann and I do.
From me, just silence.
Because you don't own a bucket of popcorn? Because you use everyone else's buckets. That's why we get the snack bags.
We got the snack bags. It's hard to transfer the popcorn from the snack from the snack bucket bag to the snack bag.
That's why they also give you usually a small cup too, and you just like scoop it.
They didn't give us a cup.
Oh, that's why.
There are so many things to remember.
I know.
It's so hard.
But yeah.
We went and watched Monster Truck on Tuesday, Stimulus Tuesday, and it was packed. I was really surprised at how many people were there.
I think Carney and I are going to go to a movie this week.
Well,
yeah, I'm not sure which one yet.
Well,
you're going to go watch Split?
I'm not going to watch Silence.
I heard Split was a great movie, though.
Oh, we'll get to that in a bit. We'll review Split. But right now, we're going to talk about Captain Bangles' comic book recommendation. If Joe went to Captain Bangles.
I went to Captain Bangles to clear out my box, and then James there was like, "Hey, Joe, I got you a wedding gift." And I said, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's this limited preview of American Gods. They're adapting the Neil Gaiman novel."
Did you also get your discount when you cleared out your box?
Heck yeah.
So what?
Got my 10%.
Yeah. If you get a hold box there and you clear it out, you get 10% off your entire purchase.
Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool. And I read it, and it's following the book. And so I don't know how long it'll adapt, because the book, if they do the expanded one, it's like 500 pages. So I don't know what that translates into editions of comic books, but
it depends.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's one. Sometimes that's 500.
I know.
But also, so if you wanted to go check out Captain Bangles, they're located at 348 North 3rd Avenue.
Yep.
So
they are pretty cool. They'll get you whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Comic book wise.
Even lots of different types of meth.
Yeah, sometimes. If you give them the special wink,
it's their prize customer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you give them the wrong wink, you're getting something else.
Exactly.
So, let's see. Well, so we're going to move into movies. Before we start talking about Split, we'll talk about the Academy Award nominees. Because we gave our top list and bottom list last week.
I know. I'm trying to think of who. We won't go through everything because we'll be here forever for like, "Hey, what do you think of best sound editing?"
Aren't they like
Danny Elfman
praising the Academy? Or no, it was the Oscars.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's because the Academy Awards.
Because they had six African-American actors nominated or something like that.
Unlike last year where they had zero?
Yeah.
But they're like, "It's six. Really? Is this praiseworthy?"
How many total are there?
They had,
categories?
I think that's just in actors.
Yeah, there's way. They have some of their pictures too, because I mean, the big one, if you're talking about the African American nod, it's Moonlight.
They were all from like one movie. Cast.
Hmm.
And then, well, on here too, then Hidden Figures, that would fall into it, and Fences. So those are the three big ones.
I've seen Fences. That's one I want to see, but Hidden Figures was awesome.
I'm going to watch it tomorrow. Sunday.
Hidden Figures or Fences?
Oh, I thought.
Yeah, I was like, do you want to watch The Secret History of NASA? That doesn't involve the former Nazi, because they admitted.
Oh, you are too cryptic about that.
Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to go watch that Sunday
NASA
night. The
NASA program was headed by a former Nazi.
Which one? There was a lot of them.
There was the one big guy.
And the Manhattan Project.
Von something or other. I can't remember. Von.
Von Braun?
Braun. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
So wait. He's not. Didn't the Manhattan Project, wasn't that during World War II?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't be Nazis.
They recruited a lot of Jews and Nazis.
Okay.
Former Nazis.
Well, they kidnapped Nazis and made them work on it.
Well, I don't know about recruiting Nazis. Like, I don't know as much because they were competing with, like, Heisenberg is Oppenheimer versus Heisenberg in that time because Heisenberg was leading. He focused on trying to...
all goes back to math.
I know.
Well, he was doing, like, he's trying to initiate fission in hydrogen or something like that. Ridiculous. And it was Oppenheimer and Hahn and all the... It was a lot of Hungarian.
You know the hydrogen bomb is that, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was Teller.
You're saying it's ridiculous. I was just like...
No, it is ridiculous that there's this competition going on and how close it could have been like on the German side. But I think that the Germans, they
stopped developing towards the nuclear bomb because they started... they didn't see it working out as fast. And they ended up developing more in rockets. So by the time we went, you know, the U.S. got over there, we'd spent so much time on thinking they had spent that same amount of time, and we found out that they'd been developing in other things.
Well, actually,
which would have been really bad either way.
It was propagandized more so than anything that they were spending more time on because they wanted our scientists to have the motivation, quote unquote, to work on the bomb faster and get it done faster because. We wanted to beat the Nazis, even though they quit doing it.
Yeah. Well, so you're saying our side was the propaganda saying that the Germans are going for this.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't recall that because there's actually a really, really good book on this topic. It won the Pulitzer Prize for general nonfiction and is The Making of the Atomic Bomb by Richard Rhodes. And
hey, you guys. As a licensed counselor, you all have ADHD. I'm diagnosing you.
Are we?
Because we're like, just leaping. Which all of this information has nothing to do with the Academy Award nominations.
It has
we were talking about.
It has something to do with former Nazis, which relates to NASA,
so
which doesn't relate
maybe
to
next year when
figures.
They make Hidden Nazis, the sequel.
Okay, I got a serious question right now. Can you prescribe me some Adderall?
No, I can't prescribe drugs. I can diagnose you so you can go to your doctor.
Hey, you're already 10%. Late. I was already diagnosed.
Yeah.
All right, so back to the Academy Awards.
Hidden Figures, which we're going to watch tomorrow, hopefully. And
that one was about the ladies.
Yeah, who are the mathematicians.
Yeah,
that, like,
the
got us to the moon.
Yeah.
It focuses on three female engineers.
Yeah,
NASA,
that looked awesome.
Engineers.
And Bill, you'll
and
love
they
this.
Did it by
Arrival.
Hand.
Was it? Oh, yeah.
It's really cool.
I
they
support
actually
that.
Show one of the computers, their calculator, excuse me, because they were the computers.
Yeah.
But they showed one of the calculators they were using, and this thing is, like, seriously, like, 60s typewriter size.
Yeah. This is like analog computers.
Okay. So you saying that Arrival's on the list?
Yeah.
Emphasizes my belief that only crappy movies are nominated.
Well, no. I disagree, Bill, because I love Arrival. That is a great movie.
Only crappy movies typically win.
No.
They do nominate some good movies, like the we just said the name 100 times. NASA one. What's the name of the movie?
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures.
I got you with the joke. Remember? Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard about that. They kept calling it Hidden Fences.
They can
fences.
Have them both win with Hidden Fences.
Hidden Fences, Crouching Shrubbery.
Yeah. You see Denzel watching. He's like, do I stand up? Who stands up here? Yeah. I don't know. Pharrell's all confused. He's like, huh? Yeah, Hidden Fences, Drowned in Moonlight. There you go. They can all win.
All right, fine. Let's wrap some stuff. Do you have anything that pops out at you that's really...
Well, on that list, like I said, because La La Land's excellent. Arrival is really good. I haven't seen Lion. Hell or High Water. That's Captain Kirk being a bank robber in Texas with his brother. That's a good movie.
New Captain Kirk.
Oh, so it's not about Captain or Helen
Kirk,
Keller,
like
Chris Pine
learning
in
to
a
flood.
It's Chris Pine.
Yeah. Yeah, the Chris Pine. Yeah, and then all those, and then Hacksaw Ridge, which is also a great movie, and then Manchester by the Sea, which I haven't seen, but I want to see.
Yeah,
see Ben Affleck's brother just being like, I can't raise you, nephew.
Yeah,
I saw the trailer for La La Land because I was gonna go see it after you guys recommended on the last podcast.
It's good stuff.
And the trailer was so awful. It didn't describe anything about the movie. It was just people singing and dancing.
That's the movie.
Yeah.
I know, but it didn't talk like it was just
some musical
scenes from the movie.
I had some nerd friends over last night. We played Machu Koro. Wonderful game if you ever get a chance, you know. But and he was talking about how he hates musicals, and they went and saw it, and he absolutely loved it.
I hate musicals.
Yeah, I hate musicals,
too. I actually like most musicals. Not all, but...
Well, you'll probably really like this.
No one's perfect. You're allowed to have your flaws.
It's just so dumb. It turned me off, like, right away.
Well, I don't disagree, because I looked at the trailer, and I was like, it looks like another musical. I don't want to watch it, but...
Yeah. I'll admit, I was kind of so-so, because I like musicals.
Yeah.
Okay. That's out there now.
Again, no one's perfect.
I know. You're okay, Ted.
I'm just kidding. I love musicals. My favorite episode of Buffy, once again with feeling. Oh, yes.
But I'll bet the trailer didn't seem like it. Because good musicals still have stories and all this. And
this has a good story.
It does. Okay.
Yeah.
But I didn't really get that from it. I felt like it was like, here's the musical, guys. Yeah.
Well, that is fair with the trailer. Because the only thing that made me watch that was from the director of Whiplash.
Yeah.
Because if it was a normal one, I might have brushed it off too. And then if everyone's like, oh, it's so great. And then I still might have been like, I don't know. So that's all that brought me into it.
Yeah, Whiplash was another really good movie.
Yeah, the trailer made it look like it was a musical just for the sake of musicals.
No, it has a story to it, though.
Okay.
There's a lot of talking, and they...
To be fair, it's a standard story. Like, they do some deviations to the paradigm, but they're pretty minor. It's all in the execution. It is just such a beautiful, well-done movie with really charismatic actors. That just made it really enjoyable.
So the last bit.
But
what do you think about Split?
I'm split on it because, you know, I hate M. Night Shyamalan. I wrote him off after
Sixth Sense.
The Happening, I think, because that movie was
okay.
Horrible. Yeah.
All right. So I really like M. Night Shyamalan. I'm super disappointed by The Happening, but it did have one really, really good scene that the part where they're in the street and the they're passing around the gun. The one person picks up the gun, they shoot themselves, and then it falls, and the next person, and he's just filming the feet as this is happening.
Oh, dude, yeah, I remember that.
That was a really, really good scene. The whole movie was crap, but that scene was amazing scene. I love that scene. And I'll just watch that scene over and over again.
No, like, I know what you're... Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of Tarkovsky, really, of like Stalker, where they're going... In Stalker, they film a lot of like just stuff underwater, and they use these different filters and stuff. It's really artistic and good. But like, it's more a story about what's going on without being gratuitous about it, but still not shying away from what is actually happening, which I thought was good. But
I know, and that
crap movie. Sorry.
Yeah. Am I the only one that watched Split?
So far.
I haven't yet.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I won't spoil it or anything too. The only thing I'll say is like my beef with it is that the movie's okay. The trailer is pretty representative of McAvoy's performance, because I mean, it's not like you watch and you go, whoa, it's so much deeper and more intense. I'm like, he's still doing those scenes, they're out of there. But the thing that got with me was it has to do with the multiple personalities, like, you know, from the trailer, and then they get into some of the theories of how we don't understand it, and then Shyamalan takes it so far at the end, and that's where I was like, no, it's dumb.
Yeah,
Joe. So he did his signature, like, I took this idea and the limits of this personality disorder and just made it stupid.
Well, he always does those twists. Like, remember in Avatar when his twist was that the movie was terrible?
Yeah, that's what this.
Most
He's
of
like...
his other movies, which was like, there's the initial twist and then the twist of you realizing, oh, yeah, I guess my hopes were in vain.
The twist is I paid $10 for this.
It's a bad movie.
Well, I liked Avatar. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know. Everybody hates on it.
A Shyamalan Avatar.
No, wait, yeah, the Last Airbender.
Not the Cameron. Oh. Yeah, the Cameron
actually,
one.
I hate
like
on that one, too.
I hate the blue Fern Gully. I really liked the M. Night Shyamalan, but I had to tell the joke.
Did you watch the cartoon before the movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And you still like the movie?
Yeah, I liked the movie. Wow.
I enjoyed the movie, too.
We were both huge. We're huge fans of Avatar.
It was good.
We had it on our DVR, and it was one of those things that, like, delete last. Like, I don't care if we miss all the new episodes of Big Bang Theory. We're not going to get rid of those old episodes of Avatar.
Yeah.
So,
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't watched The Last Airbender or any of those.
No, I want to get into that kind of show. Shyamalan was dead to me, so I just didn't even watch it.
I enjoyed Korra.
He's still dead to me, Jed.
Yeah, it was decent. I didn't really get too far into the season before like we turned off our cable. Satellite. Oh. So
they started doing some weird.
And they were playing on Nickelodeon.
Mental, timeline wibbly wobbly. Mental things with all the avatars, and there was some odd. I had some friends who actually were like, "Nope, I hate Avatar now because of what they did." I kind of liked how it went, but it's different.
I'll never watch the show. But know what else with Swit though on the movie though is that there's a second, which I won't spoil again too. All I'll say is that to appreciate the twist of the twist, you have to have been watching his other movies. I won't say which movie. You just have to have watched his movies.
Is it at least one that most of us have actually watched?
Yeah. He did the live action one, right?
Yeah.
Like it was actual people, and it was the Last Airbender one.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
I think I saw that one actually.
Before people get their hopes up, though, because I know I won't watch this movie because I hate Shyamalan's works. I asked Joe to spoil the movie for me, and he did, and I was like, I'm very glad I didn't watch that movie because that's a really dumb
twist. I still plan on watching it.
The only thing that's what I say is because the only thing that I do is I watch all these reviewers, and a lot of people share that sentiment where they say, oh, this is ridiculous. Like, this is way beyond his multiple personalities. And then when they do the twist that ties to just the Shyamalan mythos, I'll put it that way, then people... Some people love it. Some people think it makes them want to rewatch the whole movie from a different eyes, and they think it's brilliant. And
it's kind of like watching The Sixth Sense
later.
It's
still dumb. Like, so.
No, it's not like. The Sixth Sense has a decent twist at the end of it.
Yeah.
This one has an awful, awful twist. Like, I won't say that I stroked out, but I think that I might have came close to stroking out from the pure rage of how stupid it is.
But
The Sixth Sense, I could not go back and rewatch it. Once I had seen it all the way through.
I could. It was good.
It's fun to rewatch it.
It's fun to rewatch it, and you know what.
You can pick up on it.
Yeah, you know, like, knowing how it ended, you can go and rewatch it, and you're like, oh, this makes so much more sense. It's like Fight Club. I've watched that movie so many times. And when you know how it ends, and you know why, what was going on.
And you start paying attention to the jump scenes.
All of a sudden, Marla's not the crazy one.
Yeah.
She's still kind of crazy.
Yeah, she's still a little crazy for, like being with him and stuff. But you thought she was just absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't make any sense why she was acting the way. And then, all of a sudden, oh... Okay. Yeah. No. She's really not crazy. Like, I mean, as crazy as you think. So. Yeah,
well, and someone should hopefully someone. Bill, I'm nominating you. You'll probably be the one that might be the least likely to get a kick out of it and rewatch. Because I still like rewatch it in my head, knowing the information.
Are we back to Split?
Yeah, for Split.
Okay.
And I was like, it still doesn't do it for me.
I'm nominating you, Bill, to watch it because you'll hate it the most.
No, he might appreciate it the most.
Yeah.
Because, and I know you will get the twist, so that's why I won't spoil which movie, but I know you'll understand.
I'm a little curious, too. Yeah, you should watch that movie.
Okay.
But that's the thing, but the reason why I'm Swit, though, is because up until that point, like, it was okay. It wasn't great, but it was entertaining. Like, it was fine. I thought I liked his personalities a little bit and the interplay. I mean, it wasn't super intense, but it was watchable. It was entertaining. Mm. It's mixed with some unneeded flashbacks, but it has parts in his counselor and all that stuff, and that stuff was okay. But then when he goes into that part of the movie, I was
okay.
Like, no. And then they're like, but guess what? It's not really stupid. I was like, no, it's still pretty stupid. Sorry.
But you're going to say I'm going to walk out of this being pretty happy.
Yeah. So it's almost like Alex's review of 10 Cloverfield Lane. If I was recommending that movie, I'd be like, as soon as the thing is hinted as happening, just walk away. Just walk away. Pretend like you watched
that around.
Movie.
And I'll let you know whether the walk away should. But with that, we probably should wrap things up with famous last words. We'll start with Alex.
10 Cloverfield Lane is good, but don't watch the end!
Yeah. Split is okay, and don't watch the end.
Legend of the Galactic Heroes is amazing, and watch everything of it.
AI is coming, and when it does, we're screwed.
Meth is not good, not even once.
Polymath. Multiple times?
Yeah, try them all at least once.
All the movies are good, but read the last page first because then you know it's coming up.
Also, send us your emails.
Yes, send us your emails. With enter in to the Snake River Comic Con contest. Who knows? You actually might win. Actually, somebody's winning.
Somebody will win.
Somebody will win.
Especially if only one person puts in it.
Yes. At this rate, anybody has a very good chance of winning.